on me? Do you see it? All right. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you tonight. Before those of you that's on Facebook, it's good to have you be with us, whether you're with us now or whether it be years from now. We're still praying that the message be eternal, and that is that it's Christ Jesus. But it's good to have you. Thankful that you're with us tonight, allowing us to be a part of your worship, whether you're in the parking lot, in service here with us, or on Facebook. We are going to be doing some singing and some praying tonight, but we're also going to, it is our midweek prayer service, but it's also our midweek refuel. And so tonight we're going to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48, only two verses there, but I'm going to have Brother Ken come and lead us in a song. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it is a good day to be your child. And God, what a beautiful day it was as I described it. It was 48 and clear blue skies. And God, I'm thankful for that. Thankful that you're in control, Lord. Thankful that, Heavenly Father, Lord, it's about you and not me. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I thank you that you love me more than my mind can fathom. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to be in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother Ken.
Good evening, everyone. You grab your hymnal, go to 473, More Love to Thee, O Christ.
4 Nancy and Brother Ken. It is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. And again, I do want us to have prayer tonight. Last week, I feel like I get pressed sometimes and feel like I have to tag it on. But that needs to be our main goal in the middle of the week, is praying for the lost, lifting them up and praying. Tonight we will be in the book of Isaiah chapter 48, verses 10 and 11 is going to be our key scripture. But in the way of announcements, don't forget Sunday at 11 o'clock we'll be having our regular service on that. But also tomorrow, March the 4th, Brother Otis has been mentioning us doing a ramp for someone, a wheelchair ramp, so that they could get easier in their house. And it still allows us to be relevant in our community. And so before I go into our study tonight, Brother Otis, would you like to come and just kind of tell what the plan is for tomorrow, if anyone would like to come and be a part of it? Brother Otis.
As Pastor Brian said, we have talked back and forth, he and I, for a week now. I've called a few of you, but out there on Facebook or our church members that might want to work tomorrow, We're going to work on a ramp. It's for his cancer. He's on hospice care. And he has steps to the trailer, and he's having to crawl up the steps. Now, that would be difficult for you if you were healthy, but in his condition, it's dangerous. So we propose tomorrow a ramp and a landing for him to be able to get into his trailer. Near death, as far as I know, the Lord only knows that. Empathy for the family, sweet family, a saved man and wife, but good things happen to bad things happen to good people, doesn't it?
It does. We're going to talk about it.
So we're going to work tomorrow. We'll meet here at the church. If you're willing to go to work, bring your battery and your drill and a saw, a chalk line. No, we're not going to hammer much, but I'll have a lot of the tools that we need. But the address is 3318 Jasper Road. That's up by the old Jasper School. You go down, take a right, and stay on the road, and go up toward. You actually would come out Pastor Brian's house if you go all the way through.
If people would like to meet me at the church, they can follow me to the side.
Okay. Did you go by there this evening?
I did. It's right at the house. It's up on that knob.
Yeah.
The knoll. The house is up right up.
But anyway, if you can come tomorrow and help, let me know, because Sister Fleeta is going to get some subs and bring to us some drinks, and we appreciate that. But I've sent her a text tonight and told her, as far as I knew, there'd be five people, four to five. And so if you want to help, let me know, or let Pastor Brian know, or let Brother Roy know. And we have got the material today, the material list, and they're supposed to have delivered it today. So just let us know if you can help tomorrow or Friday. It'll probably take us a couple of days to get and a landing to get up into the house or trailer. Any questions, anybody? Yes, Brother Gary. You just look like you had a question on your through your eyes. Okay. You've been in the wilderness all the time. You've been in there longer than Moses then. But we appreciate you if you can come, and we appreciate you if you can't come. But if you could help us out tomorrow and Friday, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Otis. Tonight we will be going through our list of names only by name, first name, but praying for the lost, lifting up the lost. As you are turning, if you're just getting with us on Facebook or arriving, we're going to be in the book of Isaiah chapter 48 tonight. And it's amazing how God works. If you were here Sunday morning, do you remember the title of the message? You remember the title was Living in the Furnace. That basically in the world we're living in now, many of us very seldom have a time when we don't feel the heat of life, when we don't feel the pressures of life. And today has been a little bit different today. And I called one of my preacher friends. I said, "Buddy, I ain't got a sermon. What you going to get? Give me your sermon. What you going to preach tonight?" And I didn't know. But I came in today, and it's amazing how God works, that I flipped open my devotional. And you know I love Charles Spurgeon. I post a lot of his stuff, and I have his morning and evening devotionals from back in the 1890s. And I try to read them. Well, guess what the title of his message of the days was? A Chosen Furnace. And see, I don't think you can't happenstance put that together. I mean, it makes you smile, just like me and Brother Paul was talking about how the Lord puts things directly in your path. So look there in Isaiah chapter 48, and I'm gonna begin to read this, and it says, "Look, are you there? Say amen." Isaiah 48, beginning in verse 10. I'll read it first out of the Christian Standard. It says, "Look, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. I will act for my own sake, indeed mine own, for how can I be defiled? I will not give my glory to anyone, or basically, I will not give my glory away. The King James puts it like this: Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how shall my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. I won't give it to anyone else. Now, if you remember Sunday morning, we were there in the book of Daniel chapter 3. Really, we started in Daniel chapter 3, but we went all the way back to Daniel 1, and we saw how bad things do happen to God's people. I mean, if we looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the sermon, as it says in the King James, and the burning fiery furnace, if you remember, things have gotten serious in their life long before they ever got to that place. The Bible teaches us that their nation was taken captive, the capital was overrun, the best and the finest were taken as slaves. They were physically mutilated. The males were made to be eunuchs and then taken away from their family. So you see, whether it was a spiritual fire or the literal fire that we see when they did not bow down to the idol or to the golden, the golden statue, they were already feeling the heat. They were already feeling the pressure in a world where the system was set up against them. And you remember, their names were not to begin with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. It was Hananiah and different ones. It was tied with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ties them to Baal and the Babylonian moon god. And see, that's what the world tries to do with the fires in our life. It tries to redefine us. It tries to let us lose our identity in our Creator and let the world around us identify us. But you know what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, they didn't let it do that. In the whole thing, they kept their eyes on. They didn't look at the king. They didn't look at the fire. They didn't look at the things around them. They looked at the God that was able to calm all of that around them. So after we studied this, and then I come up this morning on Isaiah 48, verse 10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Now remember, the idea here is that it's a chosen furnace. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That fire was poached seven times hotter. For anybody? Nope. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their furnace. That was their fire. And God had, from the foundations of the world, knew that that fire was going to be made for them, and he knew he would have to deliver them from that fire. But sometimes other people say it better. Listen how Spurgeon did that. I'm going to read it again, and then I'm going to, Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Comfort thyself, tried believer, with this thought. God said, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Does not the word or the Bible come like a soft shower, cooling the fury of the flame? Yea, is it not a fireproof armor against which the heat hath no power? Let affliction come, God has chosen me. Poverty, you may stride in my door, but God is in the house already. when the poorness gets there, God's already been there for a while. Ain't that good? Poverty, you may stride in my door, but God is in the house already, and he has chosen me. Sickness, you may intrude, but I have the balsam ready. God has chosen me. Whatever befalls me in this vale of tears, I know that he has, quote, unquote, chosen me. If, believer, you need still greater comfort, remember that you have the Son of Man with you in the furnace. In that silent chamber of yours, there sitting by your side, one whom thou hast not seen, but whom you love. And oftentimes, when you know it not, he makes all your beds in these afflictions. He smooths the pillows of affliction for you. Thou art in poverty, but in that lovely house of the Lord of life and glory is a frequent visitor. He loves to come to you in these desolate places so that he can visit you. How many of us, if it weren't for the desolate places, would have really spent time with him? You know what I mean? It takes desolation for him to get us alone sometimes. Friend, he sticks closely to thee. You cannot see him, but you can feel the pressure of his hands. Do you not hear his voice? Even in the valley of the shadow of death, he says, "Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Remember that noble speech of Caesar. "Fear not, you who carry Caesar and all his fortune." I say, believers, fear not, Christian. Jesus is with thee in all the fiery trials. His presence is both thy comfort and safety. He will never leave one whom he has chosen for his own. "Fear not, for I am with thee." It is his words of true promise for his chosen ones in the furnace of affliction. Will you not then take fast hold of Christ and say, "Though floods and flames, if Jesus lead, I'll go where he goes." Now again, I don't believe it's by chance or accident that we look at this and we see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were probably some of the most faithful of any biblical heroes we may see. Them and Daniel. I mean, you really don't see where they failed. Really all you see, and we know that they were human and we know that they failed. But the same is, they went through all this and they made it through the trial. And remember, and Brother Paul sent this, you remember when Nebuchadnezzar looked over down into the fire and he says, "How many did we throw in here, boys? I see you to the fourth one." He's likened to the Son of God. But he called them out. He says, "You three Hebrew boys, you come on out." And Brother Paul pointed out, why didn't he call the fourth one? Because he didn't want to deal with him. He could tell that it was the Lord, and he didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord. But he brought them up out of that. This week, things have been neat, and I'll tell you a little bit. How many of you knew that Dr. David Jeremiah had been diagnosed at one time with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma? I didn't know that until yesterday. And he said that when he would tell people that he had cancer, and believe you me, I've never had it told that I've had cancer, but I've been with people when they've received the news that they've got cancer, and it's like hitting them upside the head with a bat. I mean, when that word is tied to their name, things get just real, real quick. And, you know, people would come to him and they'd be like, "You're the preacher." And he said, "Yes, I am." But see, there's two things about fire. Two things about fire that we've got to recognize. And in doing this, we'll understand why bad things happen to good people. The first thing about fire is that it is a part of human nature. You can live on this earth and you may have not known anything about fire, but sooner or later, because it is a natural event in this earth, you as a human are going to be faced with the reality of fire. Because it's just a part of it. And the second thing is this, is that even as believers, I'm still a human. That means I cannot run from the fire. Because I'm a human, there will be fire. Just like as a human being, hard times will come. Even if I live the most holy life and all that. I had a friend this week, and about 2 weeks ago he had texted me. And I love this dear friend, and he told me that one of his family members had been diagnosed with cancer and asked, would I go over there yesterday and have prayer with him and his family members and a few other preachers. And when that preacher came in and began to talk to us, he said, "I just got to confess that when this message was told to me," he said, "I didn't think my faith was where it needed to be." I said, "Everything you've ever told any other person, that this is no reflection on how God loves you and you've not done anything wrong, that this is just a part of life, guess what? You're going to throw all that out the window and you're going to see, what have I done? God, don't you love me?" Anything like that, all that. I said, "You're going to have those natural feelings and it's okay. You're even going to be in a place where you say, Lord, why didn't you give it to so-and-so instead of give it to me? Because I could have ministered to them better." And I told him, I said, "But you're going to come to a point," and I say this out of personal issues. You've got to come to a point in your life where you're in the fire, because we all face those fires, right? You know what you got to say? God, I hate this fire. I hate it. There's nothing about this fire I want in my life. I didn't ask for it. I'm not enjoying it, and I'll be glad when it's gone. But at this moment, I can do nothing about it except glorify you in it. You have to get to that point. You see, and that's what we see right here in this passage of Scripture. He says, I have refined thee. Do you recognize that everything that come into our life, God has allowed it? He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, because the trying of your faith worketh what? And perfection, exactly. It brings you around. But whatever fire you're in, whatever fire you're coming out of, it's just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God allows that fire to come into your life. He allows the cancers. He allows the wrecks. Why does He allow that? Because He's created nature the way it is. And He lets it rain on the just and the unjust. And as humans, we're not away from the hardships of life. But in the midst of those, He says, I've put you in this fire. This furnace is just for you. This is your fire. Nobody else will be in this fire. They'll never know what it's like, but I'm in this fire with you. Look, Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were told, if you don't bow down when music is played to Nebuchadnezzar's idol, then guess what? You're going to be thrown in the fire. In Daniel 3:17, it says, if so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Before they ever get into the furnace, their mind is made up. They know that their God is able to get them out of that situation somehow, some way, and it may not would be the way that they, but He could, but in that moment, just show up and knock Nebuchadnezzar out and be done with it. And the same is true whatever fire you're in right now. But God does not always put out the fires. But in the midst of the fire, and what do we see? We see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's, their fire destroyed other people. It killed other people. But not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Because God had prepared them for that. That was their fire. That was a prepared fire. And Jesus was there in the midst of them. You see, everything that we go through is not by chance or accident. God knew that they were going to come, and He's allowed that situation. He's allowed that furnace to come into your life. And we have to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3. They said, yes, our God is able. I've told you about my friend who has cancer. And if you listen to me Sunday morning, he's got to where he looks at me and he says, I'm impressed that you have the courage to pray for me in the state that I'm in. Hey, I'm praying God's going to give him total and complete healing. One way or another, God's going to do it. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said this, if not, O king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, because we serve a God that is good, and we will not bow to your king. We will not bow to your idol. The Bible says he got so mad that he throwed them into the fire, and they came out. And the Bible said that they came out smelling like not smoke. You know what? Many of us has lived through some furnaces, haven't we? Not all of the furnaces do we come out not smelling like smoke. We come out and our bodies sometimes look different. They work different. Our minds sometimes are affected. But in every one of them, we can say God is able. But He didn't. And we see that He tells them that I'm going to be with you in the midst of that trial. I'm going to be with you in the midst of that fire. And the only time that they could really see the presence of Christ was once they were in the midst of the fire. And many times that's where we get. Remember, he said, I have chosen you for this. Why? Because I can get to you. And I can make you who you are. Not only that, but notice what this says over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 8. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear and be not dismayed. Why? Because every fire, every storm that we go through is a chosen furnace. And just as God has went before us and prepared the way through that furnace, He's going to be there with us in the midst of that furnace. Remember what Spurgeon said. He said, "Fear not, for I am with thee," is a sure word of promise to His chosen ones in the furnace of affliction. "Will thou then take fast hold of His hand and say, wherever you lead through fire and flood, if Jesus is there, I'll go with Him." Why do bad things happen to good people? Because bad things and good things happen to all human beings. But as Christians, we can know that every fire, you want to call it, some would call it storms, every one of them is personally fitted for us and Christ there with us in the midst of it. You know that? Every one of them. And praise God, just like the storm when Jesus was in the boat couldn't go down until He got to the other side. And the same is true for every one of you. Christ lives for you. Those of you that's listening, you may be in the heat of the fire right now. But remember this. One, this is a prepared furnace. God knew you were going to this furnace, and in that furnace, He's caring for you. He's taking care of you. And praise God, He's going to bring you through it better than you were when you went in before. Again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't focused on Nebuchadnezzar. They weren't focused on the new laws that was trying to be pressed on them. They weren't even focused on the heat of the fire. They were focused on the power of their God and service to their God. That's all they cared about in the midst of the fire. Why? Because they knew He was with us, He can deliver us, and He's stronger than this situation. And that's what we can say, that wherever we're at, the furnace we're in, it is chosen. And not only are we going to get through it, but Jesus is going to bring us through it because He is not a respecter of persons. And praise God, He didn't bring us this far to drop us. I do challenge you to take some time and go deeper into the book of Daniel. I don't know if we'll make it to Daniel and the Lions then this week, but we probably will be. Go and study the statue that begins with gold at the top of the head and ends up with clay and iron feet. And then if you were with us Sunday night, and I apologize because I posted it on Brian's Facebook page instead of Thomas Village's Facebook page. But remember in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, remember the stone not cut by human hands comes and hits the feet and destroys it, and it's consumed like ash. And then that one little stone not cut by human hand develops into an unmovable mountain. That's a picture. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, what happens? The stone that the builders rejected comes in there and destroys it and establishes His kingdom, New Jerusalem. That's all that. But I promise you, if you go from what was that, chapter 4, Daniel chapter 4, over into Daniel chapter 7 and chapter 8, and then you'll end up in Revelations. And you'll get so deep that you'll not know how to get out of there. I promise you that, okay? But you'll come out with knowledgeable. And you know, in Revelations, the Bible says, "Blessed are those who reads from that book." Not understands, but reads from that book. All right, in the way of prayer needs tonight, we do want to pray for Miss Cindy Osborne. She is home, but still battling the fever. We want to pray for Miss Amy Hass. She had her surgery, her rotator cuff today. I talked with Brother Jeff, and she was home. But the next 24 hours or so is a key time. So we want to pray for her. She's going to have, if you've had shoulder surgery, you know she's going to have to be sitting up and all that stuff. And then we want to continue to pray for Sister Pansy as she's healing up, and continue to pray for her. Also ask you to pray for Shannon Haynes. This is Robbie Haynes, pastor of First Baptist Jonesville. Shannon and his wife, they also own the Haynes Chiropractic there in town. She was diagnosed with breast cancer, and so they're going through that, but praise God, they've committed to His glory and whatever this furnace that's been chosen for them. They didn't choose it for themselves, but they're going to let God use them in the midst of it. Laura Evans, Opal and Grayson, Paul's, I keep forgetting that, and I took out for the rest of them. But Jeff, how's your mama? Is she? Amen. Amen. Doing great for Gladys and JT Jones, Billy and Joe Sandra, Raya Osborne, Russ Williams, Miss Priscilla, she's home, but she's mending. Ethan Bowen, Thomas Graham, this is the one that will be working on the... COVID. Thomas Graham, Paul Storier. Also, Sister Melissa, she's not feeling well. She's running a fever, and Frank's out of town, last I think. So be praying for her. Maybe shoot her a text. Check on her, okay? Susan Hill, Dustin and Cynthia Pearson with the baby, Carol Carter, Emily Ward, Alicia Hill, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Sister Catherine, Bobby Lee Jesse, Miss Henrietta, Bradley Bowen, Bill Eves, Daisy Richard, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Tommy and Alma Mullins, Haley Webb, Frank and Mary Garrett, Sean and Don Garinetti, Carol Dishner, Greg Bartlett, Barb Cope, Darlene Porter, Courtney Hall, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jeanette Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Betty Gilbreth, Wilma and Don Daniels, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Sheila Stanley, Jay and Ruby Keck, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Lottie Johnson, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Liza Fletcher, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Wilma and Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, Duffield First Responders and others. Pray for those that are battling COVID, those that are getting their shots of COVID and all that. And then pray for our nation. Shed tears for our nation. Because we need a move of the Holy Ghost in our nation. Any other prayer needs tonight? Anyone else?
Jerry Wolf.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? All right. I'm going to invite you to the altar tonight. I was going to have Brother Ken read, but my voice is holding up, so... What we're going to do is we're going to call out all of the lost we have. We have 192, but we're just going to call out their first names. Also, we're going to pray for our church. I do believe that we are in the final stretch, I'm hoping, of the COVID, and we should be functioning before too long. And pray that God put the right people in the right places, and I do believe we can come back greater in his name than we were before. And I really think that, and I've talked to other pastors, there's an expectation coming to see what God's fixing to do as God's people come back in faith and courage. We do claim these, and if you feel led to come, and I'm going to give a few moments silence before I close this out in prayer, but we claim these specific verses, Romans chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is for their salvation. We pray, but we also pray that no man comes. We also know that no man comes lest he's drawn. And Spurgeon said this, if any man is seeking God, it's because God has been seeking him already. Is that not awesome? If any man is seeking God, it's because God started seeking him already. And we also, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, we lift up these names, and God, we know that they are but a drop in the bucket to those around the globe tonight that do not know you as Lord and Savior. And God, we don't know when the final call will be, but Lord, we pray for those that are nearest the death's door tonight. God, that you call them, Christian, Nathan, Chris, Cody, Colton, Christopher, Jason, Annie, Gary, Austin, Bodie, Braxton, Sharon, Tom, Melinda, Leonard, Millard, Leah, Bobby, Bill, Robert, Felicia, David, Bridget, JC, Lavella, Diane, Josh, Madison, Sydney, Austin, Jordan, Bavina, Sheridan, Brady, Gabe, Kelly, Ashton, Trista, Richie, Taylor, Austin, Jeff, Brady, Gerald, T,
Terry, Kane, Tony, Lynette, Dorette, Brian, Diane, Rick, Charles and Carol, Gail, Richard, Wilma, William, Irma Lee, Shane, Clarence, Chuck's mother and sister, Terry, Rick, Evan, Daniel, Rebecca, and baby, Hunter, Tim, Becky, Kenny, and wife, Aaron, Lisa, Mickey, Justin and Dina, John, Cheyenne, Larry and Jane, Vivi, Thelma, Rita, Claudia, Mike and Mary Lou, Florence, Letitia, Dennis, James, Drayden, Barbara, Barry, Bud, LaDonna, Lee, Raquan, Scott, Jalen, Michael, Isaac, Kayla, Rhonda, James and Michael, Mike, Joey, Gracie and David, Pauline, Chad, Misty, Ron, Greg, Lila, Brooke, Madeline, Bonnie, Jeremy, Lita, Eric, Justin, Matt, Bobby, Michael, Thea, Joshua, Sharon, Richie, Michael, Gerald, Donald, Bethany, Frank, Senior, Keith, Robert, Sandra, Tom, Donald, Lisa and daughter, Danny, Brenda, Glenn, Sarah, Leonard, Elijah, John, Polly and Neil, Will and Mickey, Cooper, Haley, Gary and Melissa, Damaris and Nathan, Mila, Daniel, Nathaniel, Steve, Fred, Robert, Laura, Victoria, Chastity, Tina, Rocky, Samuel, Sam, Tim, Kristen, Ron, Dwight, Glenda, Galen, Farrell, Teresa and Phil, and Devin, and all those physical needs we've lifted up tonight, as well as those that have psychological needs and other things. And we do pray for America. We pray for our leaders. We pray for their salvation. But at this time, if anyone feels led to pray, you go ahead and pray. And after a few moments' silence, I'll close us out. Anyone? Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Anyone else? Yes, Lord. Mm. Yes, Jesus. Physical healing, spiritual peace, mental peace. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Anyone else? Precious and all-knowing and all-powerful Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that we, by the blood of Jesus, can come into your throne room. And God, you lift us up into a heavenly realm. And Lord, you say that not only do we have our Savior Jesus sitting there beside you making intercessions on our behalf, but also Holy Spirit, you're within us making utterances which cannot be spoken. And so God, tonight we come before you and our hearts, Lord, we want to pray in a proper way. God, we want to pray whatever uplifts the name of Jesus, whatever is in tune with the heart and the mind of Jesus. And God, our hearts want those that are physically sick tonight. We want them to be healed. We want them to be raised up. And a lot of it is because we love them and we have that bond with them. But Lord, right now I pray that you focus my prayer and that it be for the glory of Christ Jesus alone that I pray for the healing of those that's on this list. God, I pray that the world will know that when they are healed, that whoever it may be, Sister Melissa, whoever it might be, the world may know that her God is a healing God. And Lord, we pray for, but we also know, God, that the physical body is going to wear out. And God, that we are not bound by this physical body, but God, that we are going to be given an eternal body. And Lord, we're going to live in a city not made by human hands. And so, God, we pray for these souls tonight. God, there are so many that do not know you. We live in a different time, in a culture where used to be in America, you couldn't help but know some Bible.
Today we're getting to the point where it's hard to find someone that knows some Bible. But God, I'm so thankful that you're doing a work. And God, I'm thankful that you can take what the devil intends for our harm. You can use it for your glory and for our good. And so, Lord, you know what's going on in our life. You know what's going on in our country. Lord, you were able to use Nebuchadnezzar and ungodly kings. And so, Lord, we're not scared of the future as long as you're in the future with us. God, we don't like the fires. But we can go through them if you'll go through them with us. And as it was, I believe it was Moses that said, if you don't go with us, then we don't want to go. And God, I'm thankful for you today, Lord. Wherever direction you're going, whatever you're wanting to do with me personally, whatever direction you're wanting to take Thomas Village, Lord, just let us get on your wheel and your way, and we'll follow you. I pray for those that'll be working at Brother Thomas's tomorrow. I ask you to bless there, bless us. God, I pray for those that are in school. We all tonight have our own different needs, but God, you are worthy. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. I love y'all. Y'all come down here about 8:30.